If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Not Seen radio program back on your airwaves. Good evening. It is I, Manti, your host, Christopher Manti, some would call me, your host of the Things Not Seen program every Friday night, 9 to 11 Eastern. It is 9 p.m. right now. Thank you for joining me so much. My phone number, as always, is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. I appreciate all your listening and interacting and thinking. So, thanks. Hopefully I entertain, enlighten, instruct, make you laugh. All good things. Maybe I'll make you angry. Maybe that's good too. That's okay. Conservative Nation Radio Network is what you're listening to. Please go to conservativenationradio.org. Favorite us, like us, tell your friends about us, spread the word. You can go right there to that page at any time to listen to this show or any other show, live or archived. So please do so. Also find us on Facebook at Conservative Nation Radio. And my show is on Facebook at Things Not Seen Show. Twitter at CNR Show. Email me if you don't want to do any of that stuff. It's Christopher at ConservativeNationRadio.org. Right? Good. Also, please visit our partners, TraditionalAmericanMovement.com, TrinityMediaOnline.com. At Trin Media. Thank you for joining me. And first off, we can't let just one more moment go by because sequestration day. No. 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 Yeah. Yeah, we're still here. I'm still here. You're still here. Planes are flying. Babies are drinking milk. Crops are growing. However, there are more illegals have been released from our custody, especially in Arizona, which is kind of funny, considering the governor there is not the best friend of the president. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. So anyway, give me a call, please. Every topic you can think of is fine with me. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. You can chat with me right here live online if you go to conservativenationradio.org. Listen live. Take you to the show page and whatever. So anyway, sequestration. Hopefully it's the start of actual shrinking of our government. This is how, remember, if you're a leftist, you never have to say you're sorry. Listen to all the crap that they've been putting out here the past couple days about how bad it's going to be. Just make things up. Make up numbers, make up facts, you name it. And this is just for a blip on the radar. This isn't a cut. If we were to even go back, it's so bad, you may not even realize how bad it is, to even go back to the day President Obama was elected. 4 years and 2 months ago, it's far more. You'd have to cut far more than what happened today. Think of that. Think of that. And this is after big spending Bush, who did all kinds of bad things to the debt. Anyway, so part of me says it's never going to turn around, but if it ever does, it's got to start. Maybe it started today. Who knows? I mean, granted, I guess there's still 3 hours for something to backfire and for it not to happen, but let's pray against that, please. 718-305-7176, Mantire host, Things Not Seen. Today is March the 1st, 2013. It has been 1 year, exactly, since a great man has died. Andrew Breitbart left us 1 year ago today. And it was shocking when it happened, just because he seemed like a normal, fairly healthy young dude. The young family, kind of like me. And basically, he's just a regular guy who got ticked off at what he saw happening and the truth being buried systematically. And saw the progressive left machinery invading every aspect of our culture. And he knew the culture had to come first, that the politics came after. The results of elections were after that. He gave a wonderful speech at CPAC 2012. It was right after that that he died. And it was really a worthwhile message, and we're going to get into that. Actually, I have a couple of items on the Celebrate Breitbart show, segment of the show here. I have three different things I want to touch on. And we'll get to that. Also tonight, just to let you know what's coming up, is it possible to regulate abortion out of existence? As you surely know, if you've ever listened to me before, I'm an abolitionist. I have always been pro-life, but I don't know exactly when. But I'm like, why are, you know, why am I tiptoeing around the fact that it should be abolished like slavery was? It's just as bad as slavery ever was. So why are we tolerating it at all? Anyways, can we regulate it out? Can we take baby steps, as it were? We'll talk about that. Chris Christie will never be president. I will talk about that, why that is. We'll also talk about something that apparently is controversial, but I don't have any clue why, as to why it is, but we're going to go over it and demonstrate, if anyone's unclear at all, line by line, why it is that God says homosexuality is a sin. I didn't think this was a big problem for people who believe in Jesus and the Bible and stuff. Even a Jewish person who only reads the Old Testament, or a lazy Christian who only reads the New Testament, there's no other way to read it, folks. Anyway, we'll get into that. And, of course, I lay it out painstaking detail for you, and I look forward to bringing that out today. Excuse me, 718-305-7176 is the number, and hopefully some more surprises and stuff like that there. Okay, so thanks for joining me today. And like I said, Breitbart has left us, and there's a legacy, though. There's a legacy. It's a good one. And if you're following his footsteps, I mean, he was just a normal guy who, like I say, he decided to take matters through his own hands as far as reporting stories and things of that nature. So that'd be terrific. And I'd love to have you join me as well. So let's get into it here. Number one, the most poignant thing that Andrew said right before he died was at that CPAC conference, Conservative Political Action Conference. As you all know, Washington, D.C., every year around this time. Fortunately, I will not be there this year, but I'm really gunning for it next year. Probably an unfortunate word, but so be it. All right, before I take a little break, let me just let you know what's coming up. This is what Andrew said. This is so true. I cannot agree with this more. It's just not possible. He said, anyone that's willing to stand next to me to fight the progressive left, I will be in that bunker. If you're not in that bunker because you're not satisfied with this candidate or that candidate, more than shame on you, you're on the other side. Like it or not, we've got the progressive left on one side and the opponent on the other side. So if you're talking about elections now, after the culture is influenced in the way that they will be, you have to get – we have to band together, folks. Divide and conquer is their thing. That's the left's thing. And this Saul Alinsky strategy of isolate your opponent and demonize them and minimize them and make them on the defensive, be on the defensive constantly, all part of the plan. And it's working. So we got to redouble our efforts and our mindset and really be willing to push the envelope to rethink what we think we know. And then maybe we'll have a shot at influencing the culture first. So we have to know what we know, number one. Relate what we know powerfully, emotionally, to the hearts of folks who are influenceable. Okay, that's most. And that's how we begin to make a dent. And we certainly do not want to strike off at some, third or fourth or fifth direction, because that just means progressives win again. And that's, as we know from history, the progressive movement is just totalitarian. And they've had many names, but they're not interested in individual liberty or sovereignty. That is for sure. So in that vein, let me tell you about traditionalamericanmovement.com. The leftist media would like us conservatives to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, like Andrew Breitbart. But do not be fooled. Americans identify themselves as conservatives, outnumber leftists by 2-1. According to numerous polls. It's even more than that, frankly. If you respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the internet. It's called traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call it. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars, just like Andrew was talking about, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening. Be part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAM is a liberal free website. And we do hope you visit there. It's, like I say, a partner of this network, Conservative Nation Radio. And it's tremendous. All right. So I would appreciate that. And if you were to give all our shows a listen throughout the week, and give us a call. This same number for every show, which is cool. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. And we'll be back in just a moment on the Things Not Seen program to talk more about, frankly, a hero to us right-wingers, and that is Andrew Breitbart. We'll be back in just a moment.
Things Not Seen.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host,
Manti.
Indeed, welcome back to the Manti Listening Radio Program. Thank you so much for joining me here, whether it's live or on archive podcast, whatever you want to call it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it very, very, very much. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. I'm here till 11 p.m. Eastern, as every Friday night. And it's now 17 after the hour. I'm talking about Andrew Breitbart. Or if you're on his team, WAR, W-A-R, hashtag on Twitter. That will tie us together. So let's get into this. Andrew Breitbart gave, there's a column about his last speech to the team, his folks that he worked closely with. And it's poignant. His message was, seek and expose the left. That's different than maybe one a lot of us have done or learned or seen by conservatives or libertarians or anyone opposed to the left. We don't just fight a defensive battle because doesn't get it done. We have to seek and expose. Now, this is a story by one of his staffers. Said, most of the editorial staff scattered around the country had flown to L.A. for a week of intense training in the new technology that would power the website. While we learned, we still had work putting up posts and videos. So the muffled sound of typing, Andrew began his pep talk. The relaunch, this is about Breitbart.com, was the culmination of months of intense work, hundreds of design meetings, and long conference calls, he said. The new website meant a new mission. We would no longer be solely a set of blogs. We were going to focus our energy on driving narratives and leading the news cycle constantly. But the news we covered would not be the same news everyone else was watching, he said. Andrew grew more animated as he described what he meant. He emphasized, for example, how radical fringes of the left were providing some of the most important content to the mainstream media, and how mainstream political and entertainment figures were driving that process by encouraging the radicals. The Occupy Wall Street movement and the anonymous hackers, Andrew said, had been extremely important in creating the 99% versus 1% meme that Obama and his team had embraced, which they encouraged to set a trap for likely Republican nominee Mitt Romney. And yes, he was saying it long before the rest of the country realized it. By the way, I'm going to raise my hand and say that also. Be that as it may. But the connections between Occupy, Anonymous, and the media were even more direct. Tracing those connections, Andrew said, was one of the many important investigative projects that needed to be done, and that the mainstream media would not do so. As far as he was concerned, that was the news. It explained how radical ideas that had circulated in remote corners of the internet would pass through outlets like Current TV and MSNBC and eventually find their way into the headlines of the local nightly news bulletin. Neither Andrew nor any of us realized that as he was speaking, the Trayvon Martin controversy was about to unfold. Martin, of course, shot and killed during a confrontation with George Zimmerman on February 26, 2012, but it wasn't until March 8th the first erroneous media report appeared referring to Zimmerman as white. Then March 11th, the new Black Panther Party marched on the Stanford, Florida Police Department. The story might have remained on the fringe, except the fact that Al Sharpton's National Action Network picked up where the new Black Panthers left off, issuing a statement that alleged Zimmerman had used racial language in his 9/11 phone call, 911 phone call to police, a theme later repeated that month in selectively edited reports by both NBC News and the New York Times. March 13th, Sharpton devoted part of his MSNBC show to the case. Soon the mainstream media picked up on the story about race, prejudice, and guns. And Sharpton, who remains an informal advisor to President Obama in spite of his history of dishonesty and deadly anti-Semitic incitement, continued to lead the way, demanding that the Sanford police arrest Zimmerman, shepherding the grieving Martin family from one interview, one demonstration, one gathering to another. This was not a legitimate news story that moved from the net roots to the front page, as the story of Barack Obama's infamous bitter clingers comment had done during the 2008 primary. This was a distortion that began in the extreme left-wing margins and became a mainstream media firestorm, one whose flames were fanned by President Obama himself in describing Martin as his hypothetical son. Breitbart News took the lead in exposing the deliberate distortions by the mainstream media, how a tragic killing twisted into a racial horror story by the extreme left became part of the rhetoric of the 2012 campaign. But all of that and much else lay in the future as Andrew spoke to us, passionately, fervently, charging us with heavy burden of responsibility that, despite his enthusiasm, felt daunting to everyone. We could not have known that it was the last time Andrew would address the Breitbart News staff as a group. Most of the editorial team flew home the next day, only to return dazed and grief-stricken for Andrew's funeral a few days later. Somehow we pulled together to launch the website on schedule, tears streaming down our faces, smiling and sobbing all at once, together as we refreshed screens and brought Andrew's new vision to life. It had been a mad year, but a successful one. Andrew would have been proud to see how far we have come, yet we are still making the transition he envisioned, and the attacks from the Obama machine, the institutional left, and the mainstream media are multiplying. Our mission remains, that which Andrew gave to us, and it remains daring. Could not be prouder than I am to serve as part of the team that Andrew built. That is his employee, Joel Pollack. And that was yesterday. Really, really hits home. This guy, say normal guy, started a business, grew to, you know, very influential status among those who agree. But it was more than that. It's tracing the, the minutiae that happens. And this Trayvon Martin thing was not, obviously not the only time this has happened. It happens all the time. Where there's something that needs to be done to help a certain person get sympathy or win an election or advance a cause or kill a cause, the enemy cause. Happens all the time. And it's good to see it documented. That's exactly what happened. So it's so important. And another aspect to this whole thing is how Andrew, you know, we all use that hashtag war, W-A-R. And many people, as another colleague of his, Meredith Drake, says, many people saw Andrew Breitbart as a general, a man who visioned, who could see all the players on the field and inspire those around him to engage. He was that, but he also stood on the hill and rattled sabers. He's a tactician, student, mentor, and motivator. Among his many talents, he had the ability to get his friends and enemies to sit around with some drinks and have a good time. That's the way Andrew lived his life. Make no mistake, this is not a job. It's a lifestyle. It reminds me of the words of Sun Tzu, the famous strategist. Sun Tzu says there are five essentials for victory. Andrew seemed to know them well, and we all should know them well. Number one, he will win who knows when to fight and when not to fight. This is important. You have to know when to start a fight. You have to know how to finish it. But people, in Andrew's case, didn't always observe or seem to forget that Andrew always knew when to wait for the enemy to come to him. Number two, he will win who knows how to handle both superior and inferior forces. Right? It's called playing up to your opponent. Media Matters, George Soros, Democrat Media Complex. Those are the big guys. But as it says here, he opened the door to the Soros fundraising complex and made a mini celebrity out of a useful lefty lackey. That's true. And these people don't want to be exposed a lot of the times. Anyway, number three, he will win whose army is animated by the same spirit throughout all its ranks. And again, I don't think you need to a list to know how Andrew inspired an army of citizen journalists, but it's out there. Number four, he will win who prepared himself waits to take the enemy unprepared. How do you summarize this? You play mental jujitsu with the left, right? Before he broke a major story, Andrew would describe what would happen. First, we'll release this audio. Then the left will respond this way. Then they'll claim that we don't have any more. Then we'll release the second part. Then the media will say, that's it. Then we'll really elevate the story with this video. Andrew was brilliant at predicting exactly how the left and media would respond. A person could really watch Andrew's talent as he would enrage the media as they desperately tried to respond to whatever Andrew had unfolded. Riding the waves of the cycle. This was intentional, right? You've seen it happen with Andrew. Oh, here's an audio clip. Oh, here's something new. Oh, that's not it. There's a video too. Okay. And number five of Sun Tzu says, he will win who has the military capacity and is not interfered with by the sovereign. One night, Andrew talked about how he wasn't tethered to the institutional right or the GOP, and that if he went down, he knew he would go down alone. No one from the GOP or some vast right-wing conspiracy spoke-filled room somewhere was going to save him. If he failed, no one was coming for him. He put this in the context of what he knew he was going to take the hits alone, without the defense of any mainstream political organization. And Andrew himself says, let me leave you with this segment. Here's a crazy thought for you. We're out there. We're fighting this fight. And I feel a lot of people are out there behind us. That's why I like the Tea Party movement, because those people, I kind of feel like if the bleep hit the fan, that some of these people would really like come through. I kind of feel we've had some successes and discovered some things that are rattling the left systems, but they're targeting me. They really are. You know, I've had a death threat against me, and they really want to figure out how to take me out. Who in the Republican Party is going to defend me, you know, when I'm accused of bad things or things start going bad? That's the thing that kind of has me fearful, is that I'm starting to realize the infrastructure of the right, the reason why we fight so hard is because they don't fight hard enough. They are representing a group of people who are in the majority of this country. The people who are in the far left of the country are like 5 or 10%. They're able to control it because they fight to win. The Republican Party should represent about 55% of the country. But to me, it seems it's fighting to protect its own hide. And so I'm having some mild successes. It's not without some revelations and some ruminations on what the realities are. It's like, holy crap, you know, I'm sticking my neck out here all by myself. Who on the institutional right is going to protect me or any one of our sites? Who is out there trying to expose things that are ultimately going to help us in the long run? Well, that's true. And just to summarize here, people remember Andrew Breitbart as a warrior, the one who would walk, no, run toward the fire with reckless abandon. But he was more than that. He was the ultimate happy warrior. He loved to get into the middle of a fight, but he was having a ball while he was doing it. And when the fight was over, he would yell, "Let's go to Applebee's. We need more happy warriors." And we miss you, Andrew. So let's talk about LifeLock right now. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service that there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So protect your identity. It's LifeLock. Go to conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner. Please do that. We'll be back right after this.
Things not seen.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for Rad. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Welcome back, Things on Scene Radio program. I am Anti, your host. Thanks for joining me. 718-305-7176 is the number. 718-305-7176. And please give me a call on this or any topic. And I believe we have a caller right now, actually, that I'm going to go to. Hopefully they're available. Thanks for holding. I appreciate it very much. This is Things Not Seen. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Barbara, and I'm calling from North Carolina. How are you, Manti?
Hey, Barbara. How's it going tonight?
Good.
Good.
Well, I wanted to chime in a little about Breitbart because I didn't know much about the movement that's been going on. I mean, I've heard of the Tea Party. I've heard of Andrew. But I was just before your show, since I got home from work, I was just going over some of the YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed because you were just talking about how he really enjoyed it. And one of the videos I just finished was where the union was out there, and he was questioning, you know, why? What is that sign? Why is Glenn Beck a liar?
Yeah.
And people couldn't come up with answers, and they were just being herded out like sheep. But he was amazing, and it's, I think we, the people who do things like this, are definitely living his legacy, because that's what we need to do to carry it on, because we know our facts. I mean, we get trolls all the time, and we go back and we tell the trolls what the truth is, and they don't want to hear it. They're just going to go back to blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And it kind of gets fun. It's fun.
That's the bottom. Right. That's kind of the bottom line of the whole thing, right? It's just that when you're in the arena, you can't just say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about and move on. You have to challenge these people because nine times out of ten, there is no backup. I mean, there's no reason to believe what they believe. They've been told it's the way it is. They feel in their heart it must be right, or some other kind of empty reasoning behind it. But you have to challenge them. And not only that, even if you don't, make them think, you're going to make the viewer or listener or the person next to you think about it. Like, hey,
yeah.
you really don't as an individual appreciate what the folks around you, when they see a strong personality actually come out and challenge the, what's being said, they'll listen to it. And they're like, huh, maybe there's a point to that. Maybe I should go rethink this thing,
Well, I did that. I do this a lot with my cousin especially. But my boss last night, he posted something and he was basically saying it's the Republicans' fault. And I went back at him. And then one of his friends said something. So I did this real long paragraph about the way our rights are being taken away and how they're being taken away. And then, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Publius Holda, she was at a meeting in front of they were talking about constitutional laws. And, gosh, it was yesterday early and I listened to it, but she's fabulous anyway. And she went up, she's sitting there in front of the Supreme Court judges saying, with all due respect, I disagree. What this is your opinion.
Right.
This is not the Constitution. And I'm just sitting there with my hands going in the air. I'm like, yeah, get her. But that's right. What we have to do. We have to know our facts when we go back at them.
This is correct. Absolutely correct. And this is a big thing, a big theme of my show in general, not just on this topic, any topic. Know what you believe and why. And it really helps to know what the opposite opinion is and why they believe it. I always say the most effective advocate for anything is somebody who's been on the other side previously. Like, like an ex-atheist who's now a believer, or an ex-leftist who's now a conservative, on and on. Those make the best witnesses to your point of view because they know where the other guys are and how to attack them.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what
–
that's.
Into them.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I can't get into really their heads as to why do they think the way they do.
Yeah, my wife is like that. My wife is like that. She's like, I just don't understand. Can you explain it to me? I don't get it. I feel you. I tell my wife, I feel you. I really do get it. I understand what you're feeling, but here's why. It may not make sense. It may not have any, there's no logic to it whatsoever, but here is the reason. And that's important when you're trying to actually get to them. I've realized some people are unreachable. They're fine. They're off to the side, whatever. They're fringies. That's fine. But most folks are not like that. And, at the end of the day, it's still about whatever most of the people in the country want. That's the kind of country that we have. So that's what we're trying to, influence and all that. So, but I thank you very much, Barbara, for your input. And please feel free to call anytime. You are more than welcome.
Okay.
Thank
all
you,
right,
ma'am.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Have a good night. All righty. So, Barbara or anyone else, feel free to call me about Breitbart or anything that you're thinking of. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Anytime till 11 p.m. Eastern. And it's 9:40 already. I appreciate your listening. Again, if you're on podcast, that's okay. In fact, it's more than okay. The vast majority of my listeners apparently listen after the fact, which is fine. Be great. Love you. You count just as much, you know. This is the internet, after all. Terrestrial is not the name of the game, so listen whenever you want. You are free to do that. You are free to engage. That's about the only part you miss when you're not doing it live, is you can't really engage with the host. But you could certainly yell and or cheer along with it. So I appreciate you very, very much. And remember, this is not the only show here on Conservative Nation Radio Network. Go to conservativenationradio.org, and there's a tab you can find out about all our shows. 6 days a week we're on the air right now. We're going to be on 7 soon on Saturdays. But every day we're on for you. And, of course, like I said, archives anytime you want. In that respect, it's 24/7. But one of the great shows we have is by a radio professional for years and years and years, been in the business forever. It's called Radio Free America. So he wants you to know, if you're a secret member of the Joe McCarthy fan club like him, join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, for Radio Free America. Now, Duke lists anti-communist among his hobbies, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to work for them and fly a National Network News helicopter, which he enjoys doing. But if you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional Whitaker Chambers reference, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America, Mondays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. So we appreciate that. Please, this and every show. And the number for us all is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. And there's, again, just one more part about Andrew Breitbart here before we move on. Again, this is the anniversary of Andrew's death, shocking death. I don't subscribe to conspiracy theories. I don't, truly. I really don't, you know.
Well, hello, everybody. Don't know what happened to Manti. My only guess is he lost connection from the internet. So I'm a little unprepared. Let's see, he's talking about Andrew Breitbart. Really don't know what else he had. He is there. I don't know where he is. Anyway, there's a lot of been going on in the news today. The sequester that we all know was Obama's idea, and Infidel, she blushed. All right. I was listening to C-SPAN this afternoon when Mr. President Obama had his press conference, and he said he wasn't a dictator, he was the president. And I personally think the guy is full of baloney. And I did write, actually, a little rant about it when I was listening, because I was getting really annoyed. Now, let me just see if my computer will allow me to bring it up, because I've been having computer issues. So it might take a minute, but if anybody wants to call in and say anything, I'd be more than happy to take some calls and go for a conversation from there. Okay. Here's my rant. Is everybody ready for it? I hope so. Because I, like most Americans, have had it with all the nonsense coming from the White House. A huge cutback to the White House would be to ground Air Force One unless absolutely necessary. The president does not need to go on Air Force One to campaign and tell everybody how bad us Republicans are. He doesn't need to take Air Force One to go golfing for the weekend. That costs us money. It's all nonsense. Obama said that the American people agree with his budget. It's not true. Most Americans don't even know what his budget is, actually, I don't think. But the American people do not agree with the raising taxes again. Unless there's those lower-class people who are getting stuff from the government that want more. So, yeah, then the rich need to pay their fair share while they're paying nothing. And all the crises that they have over there at the White House between Senate and Congress, well, Senate is part of the Congress, duh, but between the House and the Senate and Obama, it's all Obama's doing. He's the one that does not give an inch for anything. He wants his way or no way at all. That is why we are in the position today, because from what has been said, Obama has had everybody came to an agreement, and now Obama wants to raise taxes on the rich again. So that's why this is going through, because raising taxes again, which they were just raising in January, is not an option. And let's see. Yeah, he already said about that. You know, it's all about, it is all about Obama. I, me. He keeps ranting and raving about job creating. Congress is spending more time on Democrats than on job creating. Well, not from the information that I get, because the president won't cut the red tape for offshore drilling or clean coal that they have presented, or the Keystone Pipeline. He's not allowing any of that, no matter what. The governor here in my state, in North Carolina, when they were at the governor's, when all the governors were at the White House for this little sequester meeting, you know, it was asked by our governor about offshore fracking in our area, and he won't allow it. So, there's a lot of jobs. We are, I believe, at 9.2% unemployment here in North Carolina. So, some good things that are going on here, though, is that the new governor, McCrory, he did go ahead and lower the unemployment. It went back to the 28 weeks or 26 weeks, and instead of it being $525 for the max, they cut that back to $350. So there's some savings that are going to happen there. And yes, of course, there's a lot of people here whining and complaining about it because they don't want to have to go look for a job. So if they have to go flip burgers, then so be it. If you want to feed your family, you're going to go flip burgers. Anyway, let's see. So again, Obama's telling lies. The American people get the incorrect information. Then I was kind of on a little tangent. I don't know what these people are smoking, drinking, or whatever they're doing but there's simple cuts that can be done. And the rhetoric that's going on is just that. It's just drama. Yes, I agree there, Robert. I don't know that he knows how to tell the truth, because he probably knows, has never had to. And anybody that questions him, he gets all flabbergasted. American people are not focused on American people are not focused on this administration. Like I said, I was kind of just typing my rant, so trying to reread what I wrote. But anyway, I put the administration is not focused on the American people. It's focused on their own self-centered egos. And I, for one, am really tired of it. And then when I was listening to C-SPAN, when this press conference was over, they were taking some phone calls. There was actually two callers out of like 10 or 11. I wasn't even really counting, because I really didn't think I needed to. But anyway, two callers called in and said that the House is just doing it and they're not coming up with anything because they're racist. It's a black president. And right there, I was just like, oh, Lord, you know, if these people are still claiming that, then there's something seriously wrong with them. And then another caller, she made a really good point. She said, the president at the White House doesn't pay for anything at all. We pay the power bill. We pay for everything, the mortgage, the taxes on the White House we pay for. The man pays for nothing, not even the food that he eats. We do. And she said, being that he doesn't pay for anything, cut his pay. And I couldn't agree more with that. I also think that the rest of the Congress should have their pay cut, because I think that they're being paid and they're not doing their job. So we have a job to do to get rid of everybody that's in office that's not doing anything, and get rid of them. We have the mid-elections coming up next year, and we have to start focusing on that and getting that information out there. We've got to get our people in line. We've got to promote them. We've got to vet them to make sure that they're the right people that we want in office. Not once we get there, they change their mind and do whatever they want to do. Let's see, what did you put in there? Christopher believes, yes, I'm pretty sure. And Christopher's not going to be able to call in as a host because I'm the host. Oh, I think that's him now. Let me bring his caller on.
Hey.
Right.
thanks for covering for me, Barb.
Okay, now
I don't know what happened here.
One.
Yeah, I guess there's a lightning strike in northern Delaware. Something is happening with my internet provider, but I got knocked out there for a second. I apologize to my listeners, but I'm calling back in. But as you say, technically I'm not the host, so I can't push any buttons in here. But unless you know of a great way to address that, then we can just continue on. But I don't know. I haven't run into this problem yet. I haven't had an issue all this time. That's why we're living and learning.
That's right. Welcome back. Because
yeah.
I was just doing my kind of rant on the press conference today that Obama had. And then a caller that called in, she said that the president doesn't pay for anything. So he needs to get his pay cut.
Yeah.
And a lot of the callers also called and said that he needs to be impeached. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, people are pretty annoyed. I'm not sure, just being real here, I'm not sure what high crime or misdemeanor we're talking about. But, you know, hey, I'm willing. If we can put a case together, why not? It's better than serving out the 3 more years. So, but I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear what the case would be. Great.
Anyway, I'm glad you're back. You can have your show. I'll just go on mute in case something happens again.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am. So, am I?
You're welcome.
Let me do some. Let me experiment here real quick.
Packers,
okay.
Vikings,
Red State.
All right, good. That works. Cool. Thank you, ma'am. I will be.
Oh, you're welcome.
You again, but just in case. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome.
So now it's 10 o'clock all of a sudden, and this is Things Not Seen. I'm your host, Manti, indisposed temporarily. Nothing can keep me away from you folks or from the show. All right, that's the bottom line there. I guess maybe the left didn't appreciate my words about Andrew and my upcoming segments. Maybe that was part of the deal. Who knows? So please stay tuned. God knows what's going to happen next or what I'm going to say that'll infuriate the enemy. So this is very good, very good. 1 hour left here, Things Not Seen. And we'll be back in just a moment again. Things coming up, which includes Chris Christie, never will be president, my quick opinion on that, and then getting into a little Bible study here about the apparently controversial position that homosexuality is a sin in the Bible. No-brainer to me. But apparently some people have an issue. We'll get into that. And so it's halfway through the show. I appreciate you sticking with me, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website. TheThirdLantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true, I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. Back on the air. And I appreciate you listening. 718-305-7176, which is the phone number as always, conservativenationradio.org. I am Christopher Manta, your host. As always, Things Not Seen. And right now on the phone, very special guest, Mr. Eric Boy of the Campaign for Liberty. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Chris. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. And I hear you've had a busy evening already. So tell us about that real quick.
Oh, absolutely. We just had our Campaign for Liberty meeting down here in Sussex County, Delaware, okay, in the town of Georgetown at Abundant Life Church. And I tell you what, the message of liberty is on fire right now down here. You know, last month, you know, we had a slight uptick in membership, you know, folks. About, you know, a couple more folks showed up, and we had about eight people in the room. And then all of a sudden, tonight, the cars started pulling in the parking lot one after another, because they've been hearing the message that we're fighting and we're winning battles up north. And the next thing you know, there were like 30 people in the room. And, you know, I was just like, this is incredible. And the people are just thirsty for an organization or a group of folks that are going to stand up and not back down and not compromise or make deals or negotiate. It's either our freedoms, our liberties, our natural rights as enshrined by the Constitution, or nothing. And we're going to go all the way to the grave with that. And, you know, that kind of a message, if people believe you, they just start coming out of the woodwork. So we just had a really great meeting tonight. The people are fired up. We ended the meeting, and people just stayed around talking to each other and for like another half hour, and then the last thing we had a sheriff down here, Sussex County Sheriff, tell his story and what the battle that he's facing, and I can't think. I mean, there's a whole lot of important stuff going on. I know I said that last time that I was on. It's always going to be that way for a while, I think. But
yeah,
The sheriff issue, Chris. This thing is off everyone's radar, but I'm not sure if I could think of a more important fight, to be honest with you.
Let's explain exactly what's going on with that in general all over the country, and then specifically here at home. What a sheriff exactly is, and why, who would be opposed to him, and what this has to do with the Second Amendment.
Well, so here's the deal. The constitutional role of a sheriff, and probably a lot of people don't know this, but the constitutional role of the sheriff is actually he's the only elected law enforcement officer in the land. He's supposed to be the head honcho, and he's the one who's able to interpose upon any form of tyranny that comes upon the citizen. So, for example, after Obama signed those 23 executive orders, you know, to try and come after our guns and have our doctors ask us if we have guns in the home and stuff like that, you saw around the country, you saw these sheriffs say, not in my county, okay, not my citizens. That law will not happen here. Well, you know, in other parts of the country, sheriffs have stopped the FDA, threatened to arrest agents of the EPA and the FDA, trying to shut down farms and things of that nature. The sheriff is allowed to say to any level of government, not in my backyard. You're not coming in here, neither are your agents. And so in essence, the sheriff is your second to last line of defense. You, of course, are your last line of defense, but the sheriff is the second to last line of defense. Now, the state troopers, all those guys, they're not elected, okay? The chiefs, they're appointed by the governor, okay, and so forth. So they answer to them, okay? The sheriff, he's elected, he answers to the people. Well, the ones that are against the sheriff are, of course, the people who want power and want to consolidate power and don't, you know, want the people to have that second line of defense there. So they're trying that they effectively, our legislature here in Delaware, this was a test bed, okay? And if it happens here in Delaware and the judge, it's in the courts now, okay? Sheriff Jeff Christopher has filed a lawsuit against Sussex County because the county board, you know, stripped his powers of arrest. The state legislature passed HB House Bill 325, stripping his powers of arrest, effectively castrating him from being able to stick up for the citizens. And Sheriff Jeff Christopher has sued the state of Delaware and the Sussex County Council, and it's going to court, and it's going to be heard on March 8th, okay? And, you know, on March 8th, the judge is probably going to rule against him because he's a really liberal judge, and it's going to go probably all the way to the Supreme Court. If this whole thing stands of being able to strip a sheriff of his constitutional powers of arrest and being able to interpose on behalf of the citizens against tyrannical government like what we're seeing with Obama, then it's going to cascade across this country, and people all across this country are going to lose their county sheriffs as you know, arbiters for them. And so look at how this relates to guns. Then you won't have your sheriff being able to tell the federal government or Obama, you know, you're not going to enforce those 23 executive orders here. You know, then the Congress will be able to pass laws for background checks and, registration databases, and the sheriff won't be able to say, not in my backyard. You know, you're basically going to be left open, okay? And it goes for everything. You know, when the FDA comes to try and shut your farm down, you know, the sheriff's not going to be able to do anything for you.
Right.
Factories,
mm-hmm.
It's all gone.
So we
try to think about what's the most important thing going on right now. It's real tough, but when you think about it, every single major battle we've got right now with government, okay, is affected by this one sheriff fight. And I'm just astounded. You know, that more people don't know about it and that it can actually go the wrong way.
That's why I wanted to bring you on here and talk about it. Now, when you say going all the way to Supreme Court, do you mean the state Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court?
State and then U.S. I mean, they'll try to take it all the way.
Is the sheriff prepared to go all the way?
Well, here's the deal. He's got, I think, a team of six attorneys working on this case, you know, four down in Baltimore City, one out in Michigan, and one up here in Wilmington, Delaware. This stuff ain't free. He's paid these guys, I think, something like $50,000, and right now the tab, I think, is somewhere around
$170,000.
Wow. And, you know, so we're going to try to do what we can. I can't do it as Campaign for Liberty, but as an individual, I can do whatever I want, you know. And so a bunch of us are going to try to, you know, raise as much money as we can for them. But this is a daunting thing, and I think folks around the country, you know, if you get enough folks chipping in $5, it adds up, you know. And if you've got the money, these attorneys are going to go all the way. But eventually, the tab gets too high, and you know. You can't go all the way if you don't have money. It's a sad nature.
Yeah, I wonder if someone in the audience or myself can reach out to there are some good constitutional lawyer groups out there, like ACLJ and things like that. I don't know if they would take this type of case, but it's worth asking. That would get it some major, at least some publicity, at least. Maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Well, you know, Sheriff Mack is out there with Sheriff Jeff Christopher. I mean, in fact, CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriff's Police Officers Association, they got something on their site that you can donate for this fight specifically. And if folks aren't familiar with that site, it's CSPOA. So Charlie Sierra Papa Oscar Alpha. .org. So if you go to CSPOA.org, you'll be able to find somewhere on there how you can donate to this fight. But Chris, you know, there were a lot of attorneys actually that turned this fight down, and the reasons why is because think about it. You're going up against Biden's, Biden's boy, Attorney General, Biden. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going up against all the state police. Okay. You're going up against Governor Markell and all those boys, and they're all connected with Obama. I mean, you know, it's tough.
Very daunting.
It's very daunting, and you know what? you think about it, there's a lot of folks that get up and they got fiery speech, you know, they talk a good game, but when it comes down to it, there's very few folks that got the iron gut to actually stand up to the man. And
amen.
You know, we're doing it. I mean, Campaign for Liberty's doing it. CSPOA's doing it. Sheriff Mack's doing it. Jeff Christopher's doing it. You got some other folks out there that are doing it, but you know, there's a lot of groups out there. We talked about it a little last time when I was on the phone with you last time. There's a lot of groups that you think are big, strong, tough guys, but they're always the ones who make deals and negotiate and come up with compromises. And the only people who lose are the American people. A little bit of liberty every single compromise, you know. And
yeah,
so,
this is true. If you want to actually, Eric, can you hang on one more segment? I just have to take a break here real quick, quarter after the hour. But then we can come back and talk to you one more segment about this, if you wouldn't mind, okay?
You got it. No problem.
Very good, sir. Hold on just a moment. I just have to take care of some business here. Again, you're listening to conservativenationradio.org. We are talking to Eric Boyce from Campaign for Liberty. I am Anti, your host of Things Not Seen. And remember, there are other shows here on the network. Conservatives like us, we need to be predictable, dependable, and reliable, right? And that's like the true anchors that they are, Mr. Michael Smith and Bing Fisher. Still roll out the Soldiers of Patriotism every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Now, I wouldn't be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, now would it? So don't miss our signature flagship show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatism, real conservatives even. And we will be back in just one moment.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
All right, it's back. Things Not Seen radio program. Thanks for joining us. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. 718-305-7176. And we're going to rejoin our guest for the next segment as well. We thank so much, Mr. Eric Boy, for calling in from Campaign for Liberty and talking to us about some issues with the sheriff here locally and other sheriffs around the country. Obviously, it's a hot topic right now. And, I mean, guns are on people's minds, Eric. They're kind of scared about this stuff. You know, you can't even get ammunition, it seems like, nowadays. So people are sensing something's going on. What do you think is the next thing to happen? What do you see as the next step?
Well, you know, right now we have a governor who, you know, unleashed the first shot. You know, it's not even a shot across the bow. I mean, it's this bill where you got to report a lost or stolen firearm within 48 hours of discovering it missing, okay? And the first time the first time that you that you're in violation, all right, it's like a $100 fine. But the second time, it's a Class G felony. Class G felony in the state of Delaware, okay, is incarceration at level 5 for 2 years. So then when you look up level 5, it says it's around-the-clock incarceration, and 1 year or less, you're in a jail. More than that, you're in a prison. So now I ask, how are they going to know that, how are they going to ever enforce that? How are they going to know that you didn't report it within 48 hours of discovery? How do they know when you discovered it was missing? How do you know any of that?
Yep.
Here, I'm going to tell you how. The goal, man, the goal is actually registration. It's registration and periodic inspection, okay? It's the only way you could possibly know anything like that. And that's actually happening around the country. They already got folks. You know, you think the BATFE, I believe, they're going around to gun stores and just outright copying the records that they're required to keep on file already. And they want a registration database. And you know as well as I do, Chris, that registration is the first step to confiscation. Okay? It's historical. I mean, it's just been repeated throughout history. And so that's what I see coming. Now, the other thing that I think people really got to keep an eye out for is that there are folks in this fight that you might think are your allies and that you would hope that they are. But let me tell you, you know, so that's Markell here in the state of Delaware. That's his first shot at us, you know, with this 48-hour kind of thing. But then you go to the Republicans and you say, well, what's your counterproposal? And these guys, they say, well, and this is NRA too. They say, well, instead of doing that, Markell, you know, we say that you ought to put it under the existing law for false reporting, okay? False reporting, which is already on the books. And if you do that, don't make it a Class G felony. Make it a Class F, okay? Well, guess what a Class F felony is, Chris? It is not 2 years of incarceration at level 5, you know. It's 3 years. So instead of being an innocent person, you know, arrested and stripped away from your family, having to abandon your family and your kids and your line of work and all that for 2 years, now it's 3 years. I mean, it's just going to destroy people. It makes innocent people into criminals is what it does, you know, because, you know, that kind of thing, you know, people are going to be popped on that stuff for no reason. Somebody breaks into their house and takes their weapon and they don't know about it. Maybe they don't fire very often, you know, and somebody breaks in and steals it, they won't even know, you know, and a crime is committed. It's atrocious, you know. So the people you think are on your side aren't even on your side. They're actually giving the governor a bigger bat to swing at you, you know. It's crazy. So that's what I see happening. I see them passing laws that people are going to feel are, you know, a reasonable compromise, but then those laws have to be backed up by future laws that are going to eventually lead to, you know, registration, periodic inspection, and eventual confiscation. There's one more thing that's going to come down the pipe, Chris, and this is the background checks, okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, you know, we live in a society where if a kid is just a little bit excited in class or he's got some energy, they just automatically say he's got ADD, ADHD, all these kind of different designations, and these so-called health experts got a list a mile long that, you know, somebody could, you know, say that everybody falls in under as a mental health issue, and then they're pumping these kids full of drugs instead of giving them good parenting and stuff like that. Well, eventually, every single person that's designated as having something, you know, one of these mental health, you know, designations is thereby disqualified. Through these laws that are going to be passed, disqualified for owning a firearm. So look how this plays out. Long term, because of all this that's happening with the schools and them telling all these kids they got all these different mental health designations and that they're prescribing all these medications to them, long term you're going to have an entire generation followed by another entire generation that are banned from having firearms. And short term, it's going to disqualify all the veterans. Why? Because if you're in particular war zones, they just tell you that you got PTSD and they pump you full of, again, these meds, these psychotropic drugs. Man, this is huge, and they definitely, you know, the veterans are the first ones they want to get the weapons out of the hands of, because the veterans are the first ones that could ever stand up against them. Okay, so that's what I see happening. The expanded background checks and the registration databases are the two most important things that are happening, believe it or not, because it's basically going to it's going to strip the firearms out of generations of people and all the folks that could ever stand up to the government if they ever need to, you know. And you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, man. I don't go that route. This is real stuff, and we know that this is their goal. You know, I mean, you listen to Eric Holder, you listen to Obama, you listen to Feinstein, man, Schumer, you know, even folks like Lindsey Graham. You know, that flaming liberal, they do not have any regard for the sovereignty of American citizens. They don't want the citizens to have any power whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Like I was saying earlier in the show, I mean, that's the progressive, the leftist mindset is there's no respect for sovereignty of the individual or the state, you know, to be independent. They know better. They're going to retain their power by any means necessary. I mean, it's like you said, this is history. It's not conjecture. It's not something
nope.
we can assume is going to happen. It's human nature, right? It's to hold on to your power and acquire more and crush your opposition.
Gosh, Chris, I mean, you know, all we got to even do is open our Bibles, you know?
Yep.
I mean, there are lessons about this all the way back. You know, it's consolidation of power. It's a cycle of history, you know, and we need to fight it. We really need to stand and fight. We need to be serious about it. We need to stop feeling like we're wedded to particular parties or particular advocacy organizations that maybe have been leading the way the whole time. We got to start getting serious and getting cynical about everybody. And start joining organizations that are not going to compromise, not back down. Because, hey, tell you what, these socialists, these liberals, they're not compromising. They're not backing down. They're not negotiating, really. They come for 100% fully knowing that they're only out to get 20%. But they come at you wanting 100%, and then eventually the people who are supposedly working on our behalf, they make a negotiation, and we lose 20%. And then 5 years later, same thing happens. 5 years
right.
after that, same thing.
Correct.
And that's incrementalism. So we need to start playing their game. We need to start doing confrontational, you know, kind of politics instead of this compromising politics.
And that's
the only way we're going to do it.
That's exactly what Breitbart was talking about last year. Is the fact that they, you know, the other side goes 100% to win. And sometimes, for whatever reason, our side does not. And we're interested in making peace as opposed to winning.
You have to be on offense. You have to be on offense, not just defense, you know.
Correct.
And, you know, we need to see bills submitted in these houses for constitutional carry, teachers carry. We need open carry, concealed carry. You know, we got to be fighting all the way. And we got to start repealing bills like these gun-free school zones and all this stuff. We need to
Amen.
Go on offense, you know. And
Amen.
I'll be honest with you, Chris. The stuff I'm seeing out of these so-called conservatives here in this state, I read all five pieces of their proposal, and to me, they all read like the white flag of surrender. That's exactly what they are, you know.
Yeah,
and,
as a matter of fact, I know what you mean. The state GOP here. I even made a comment about where's the provision to arm the teachers. I mean,
yes,
that's
sir.
What we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's the bottom line of all this stuff. All this other junk is ancillary, and it's not going to do anything.
Yep.
See,
yep. And they don't want
to
go
take
there.
It to them. Yeah,
yeah.
I know it.
Because I tell you what, they're cowering, you know. And so anyway, here that's the thing, and that's why our numbers for Campaign for Liberty are just growing like crazy, because the people are thirsty for basically a backbone. That's what they want. They want someone with a worldview that actually aligns with theirs, and they don't want these folks who play patty cake like what we've got right now going on in our state.
Yeah, you got that right.
Too.
You got that right. And just so you know, I will be at the next C4L meeting here later this month in my county, and I encourage anyone who's listening to attend theirs, because they're all over the place.
Chris, is this show national?
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, folks, just go to the national website, campaignforliberty.org, and get involved. Get involved, and let's get serious, because
that's
there's
it,
not
man.
Much time left.
Amen to that, Eric. Boy, always a pleasure, and you've always had no problem articulating your point, and we appreciate that very much, man, and we will certainly speak with you soon. I want to speak with you regularly here on the air, so thank you so much, and I will talk to you shortly myself. Thank you, my friend.
And as I go, Chris, mm-hmm. just please continue to point folks to donate to the sheriff, CSPOA.org.
I will.
Right,
I will
man.
Do that. Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Have a good night, man.
Yes, sir. You too.
All righty. Eric Boy, everyone, Campaign for Liberty, great guest, and look forward to having him as a regular staple here on Things Not Seen. It's now 10:30, 30 minutes left. I got to get to this Bible segment here before we get out for the night. So we'll be back in just a moment. This is Things Not Seen.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit MakingHomeAffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Things Not Seen has returned.
Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Indeed, Manti is back. I am back with you for 30 more minutes here on Things Not Seen. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176 is the phone number. Conservative Nation Radio Network, conservativenationradio.org. I'm so pleased that you are with me. Thank you, either live or on recorded broadcast after. I thank you. And I look forward to speaking with you every week. And please visit us and listen to all our shows. Thank you. Appreciate that. So right now I want to get into
something that I can't believe that it's so controversial. And between this Tim Tebow thing last week and now this week, the site I frequent called Pro Football Talk, it's all right, I like football, whatever. All of a sudden this gay stuff, homosexuality debate in the Bible is coming up. And it just really prompted me to say, I don't understand what the problem is. I mean, there's even big preachers that are now on the other side of this. Here's some Bible for you, okay? Let's break it down. Let's be real. And let's go to church. All right.
this is where we're going to talk about. All right? Now, I blogged about this. I was saying, amazingly, many Christians would be shocked to read that God says homosexuality is a sin. Yes, that's right. You heard it here first. God says homosexuality is a sin. Unbelievable, I understand, but that's what he says. And you say, okay, I don't believe that, or that's intolerant or hateful. Well, I think to not think that is to declare your abject ignorance of God's word, both Old and New Testament. So here are some basic truths, first of all, before we continue. Well, number one, we are all sinners, all of us, who need the atoning blood of Jesus to avoid God's wrath. We all fall short of his glory, including the men who penned the Bible themselves. We all need to be saved. Homosexuality, number two, homosexuality is not the unforgivable sin. Number three, we are to love those engaged in that sin just like we love anyone engaged in any sin. Number four, to simply repeat what God says about it is not being intolerant or hateful in any way, shape, or form. So do not buy that. Do not be intimidated by those who would claim that. So what does the Bible say exactly? Some people say, oh, isn't it just one verse in the Old Testament that doesn't mean anything anymore? All right, try this on for size. Genesis 19. The men of the city, the men of Sodom, compass the house round about, both old and young, and the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Know in the biblical sense, he knew his wife. Okay? Can we understand what to know them means? These are men asking to know these great handsome men that came into this house. This is where we get the word sodomy, because it happened in Sodom. What is the sin of Sodom? Well, what's sodomy? Okay, get it? Leviticus 18 says plainly as day, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. For emphasis, Leviticus 20 says plainly, if a man also lies with mankind as he lies with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. No question there. What are we talking about? What does God think of it? Okay, let's go on. Judges chapter 19. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, Belial's the name of Satan, okay, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spoke to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into your house that we may know him. And the man says, behold, here, my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine, that's another woman, I will bring them out to you now and humble ye them and do unto them what seems good to you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing. Well, what is the vile thing that they wanted to do to the man that they would have done to the women? Okay, you say, fine. But Jesus said that homosexuality was maybe bad in the Old Testament, but now they knew it was good, right? Wrong. First of all, in general, Matthew 5 says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Luke 16, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. Does it sound like he's changing something to you? All right, Matthew 19. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? That's sex, folks. A man and a woman. If you deviate from that, you're insulting God. He doesn't like it. Right? Okay. How about some more New Testament proof? Romans chapter 1. For this cause God gave them up
unto vile afflictions. You know any vile afflictions? For even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error which was meet. Again, straightforward, no translation necessary, no reading between the lines needed. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's kind of maybe a little tough to decipher. That when it says effeminate, it means a male prostitute. And by the way, let's just be real here. When a man is supposed to be a homosexual, does he not act effeminate? And the other phrase, abusers of themselves with mankind, means homosexual offender, okay? Period. Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The big word in all these is fornication. Fornication means a sexual act that is condemned in the Old Testament. Well, we read, and this is, it goes beyond just homosexual sex. It's sex with animals. It's sex with your parents, with your siblings, okay? All kinds of gross stuff. But God has to lay this out because people will do it. It has nothing to do with who you love or whatever. They have a lust for it. It happens. But God says, do not do that. I don't like it. Fornication. Ephesians chapter 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. This is talking to Christian churches. Do you know any Christians who are condoning sexual acts that are condemned? I do. That's not all. Colossians chapter 3. Mortify yourselves, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that's love, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Again, fornication, illegal acts. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 4, whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, perjured persons, if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. I mean, again, simple. You look up whoremonger or something that who the man that defiles himself with mankind, again, just like in the earlier scripture about from Corinthians. Even in the book of Jude, again, going making the circle complete, as the Bible often does, going back to the Old Testament, saying, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. God is not happy about this stuff. He is not happy. So why is it so controversial, quote unquote, to just repeat what God says on this topic? Anyone who has a problem with the scriptures' clear teaching on this have a problem with God and no one else. They have a problem with God. I'm sorry. There's no other way around this. All right, I'm going to finish this up here in a minute, but real quick, it's important to know that there's a Chris Kyle Memorial actually being built right now. Let me tell you about it. All American patriots were heartbroken when we heard the news that former U.S. Navy SEAL and combat sniper Chris Kyle had been murdered in a Texas rifle range last month. The circumstances were tragic, but Chris's accomplishments in the defense of our nation are legendary. Since his memory must never be forgotten, a sculptor named Gregory Mara is now completing a life-size bronze sculpture to be placed in permanent memoriam to Chris in Texas. So we're asking you to please help American Patriots with this fitting tribute to an American hero. Go to gregmarastudios.net. That's gregmarastudios.net. And make a generous contribution. Or mail what you can to Gregory Mara Studios, 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Florida, 34203. That's 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Florida, 34203. American Patriots everywhere will thank you. I thank you for listening to that, and we'll be back right after this.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
It's all about the First Amendment now, isn't it, folks? Free speech, vociferously practiced here on Things Not Seen, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. I only got about 10 minutes left here this program this week, and I can't believe it. Thank you for joining me very much, as always. ConservativeNationRadio.org, TrinityMediaOnline.com. Don't forget that. My business, and I'm going to be doing some great things here pretty soon. And again, I just wanted to finish up my thoughts about this Bible talk about what God thinks about homosexuality. So I was just saying, if you have a problem with any of that, those scriptures, you have a problem with God. No, not with me or any pastor or anyone else. It's not a man thing. It's a God thing. Problem with him. Again, like I was saying earlier, there was a blog website I frequent called Pro Football Talk, and 2 days ago, the owner, Mike Florio, once again has waded into this topic. He's been doing so regularly over the past few weeks, even though people go there only to, you know, talk pro football. He continuously, and others do this too, injects the Bible as a reason not to reject homosexuality. I say, huh? The more he does it, the dumber he looks. He can deflect and project onto others the very real problem that he has, which is that he has a problem with his father, the Lord, on this topic. But those of us who are biblically literate see the truth. The truth is, all sin is a choice. All sin is a choice. An abomination, which is what God calls it in the Old Testament, is something basically really pisses God off. Why does it do that? I say, just look at your parts, for goodness sakes. Your privates is an insult to the creator of the male and female body. Nobody is born gay. Like all sin, engaging in a homosexual sex is a conscious choice of the individual, which they will have to make an accounting for. Now, if you want to say there is no God and the Bible is a myth, then we disagree, but at least your logic is sound. Why, in other words, you know, why would I have to care what the Bible says? I don't believe it. Fine. But to accept God, and especially the covering blood sacrifice of Jesus, as Mike Florio and countless others do, and yet to insist that homosexuality is not a sin, proves how much you don't care about yourself or God, because you're not reading his word at all. You're ignoring it. That is my say on the topic. I hope it has helped you in some way. If you were confused about this at all, hold firm that there is no confusion. God is not the author of confusion. There is no confusion about this. Jesus did not abrogate this opinion at all, okay? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's basic, all right? So if you are in a church that is accepting of this, says God does not disapprove, or they're pro-gay marriage or anything like that, get out, please. Either try to change it, plant the seed of truth here, or wash your feet off. Dust your feet off and get out. And certainly don't give any money to them. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is Bible 101 kind of stuff, isn't it? A cursory reading. You don't need to. I quoted from the King James, but you can go to any version. There's no good way to slice it, or no other way. He's against it, period. All right, enough of that. Moving on. So this part of the show, I just like to throw out a little lighter fare before I go. And there's this has to do with the media. There is a woman trying to become a professional football player in the NFL as a kicker. I saw a quick blurb about this. This is the time of year called the scouting combine. Okay, college players and players beyond college years who aren't in the league will try out the various combines. There's a national one that just happened for college players this week. Beginning of this week, it ended. Then there are regional ones throughout the country that are happening now. And they're, you know, mishmash of different folks. People try out, you know, they get measured and weighed and tested and see how much you can do. You go through drills and all that. Okay, cool. So there's a girl who's 27 years old in New Jersey that is in one of these regional combines the next couple of days. All right, interesting, I guess. But the media spins it as, and by the way, this is on Drudge Report. Okay, this is his headline. This is not some liberal spin. It's a false headline. It says, first woman wins tryout with NFL team. No, she didn't. No NFL team is going to try her out, at least not yet. This is called a combine. It's a league thing. It's not a team thing. You're not trying out for anyone. Nobody gets a job just because they go to the combine. This is where nerds basically take notes and I have hundreds of people who participate. Maybe they'll call one or two. And then you can try out. And then if you're, you are drafted, if you're eligible for that type of thing, if you're fresh out of school, out of college football. But, okay, so I think it's cool that she is trying, you know, she's in this combine. And for what I've seen and heard, she's not a very good kicker. Anyways, there's nothing that's going to come of it. The fact is, the headline, even on Drudge or conservative, okay, point is, your ears have to be perked up all the time. Just because it's on a place where you might trust doesn't mean it's true. You really got to be careful. And it's, football means nothing in the grand scheme of things, I understand. But this is a case study, something that you have to be conscious and cognizant of all the time. Do your research. And if you know about a subject, like I do with this, catch it. And don't believe it, and tell other people not to believe it. And if I had the time or inclination to write Matt Drudge about this, I would. I guess it's more the inclination, the time. But anyway, if you see a headline, first woman wins tryout with NFL team, it's a lie. Okay? She's at a combine in a regional where there are many regionals. She's in New Jersey. I would be extremely shocked if anything else came of it. I don't think she'll be getting a tryout with any team, much less making a team, much less participating in an NFL game. Think about it. What happens? Okay, it's just a kicker. They kick field goals. Okay, an extra points. What if the kick goes bad? She's going to get tackled. Are they not supposed to tackle her? You also kick off, right? The beginning of the game, one team kicks off to the other. If she is kicking off, is she supposed to make a tackle? She being she's a skinny girl, too, if you see this picture. She's not some muscled-up weightlifter. She's 120 pounds, looks like. She's going to get literally destroyed. I mean, like, bad, bad news. Anyways, she going to be expected to tackle some 200-pound guy running 25 miles an hour at her? I don't think so. Okay, so just relax with this kicker stuff, first woman. Relax. It has come to the end, yet again, of the Things Not Seen program for the night. And I'm so appreciative of your listening, whether live or after the fact on podcast. As always, 718-305-7176. Call our other shows, please, throughout the week. We've got, again, I've talked about a few of them. Also got Women Patriots here with Barbara and Brenda on Tuesdays at 7 Eastern. Awesome. And if you're a guy, you can call and listen also. Not a problem. But it's a woman's touch there. Warrior Catholic Show, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Chris Ricketts, who's an ex-Marine and committed Catholic, and he's ready for the battle. And great, great stuff on his show. He gets tremendous guests. I'm sure we'll be talking about the Pope here the next couple of weeks and what's going on with that. We never even touched on that. How would 600 years, whatever it's been since a guy has a Pope has hung him up before the final bell? That's interesting. And of course, I got Sound of Freedom, which is on the night before me, Thursdays at 7. And the guys there are Navy SEALs and JAG attorneys and authors and, you know, TV and all this good stuff. So listen to all our shows, okay? ConservativeNationRadio.org. Please go there and like us on Facebook at Conservative Nation Radio. And like me at my show page at Facebook, Things Not Seen Show. On Twitter, we can be found at CNR Show, TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. TrinityMediaOnline.com. Twitter for Trinity is TrinMedia. If you ever need to contact me at any point off the air, feel free to do so. It's Christopher@ConservativeNationRadio.org. I will read and respond, I promise. I swear it. Christopher@ConservativeNationRadio.org. So thank you for listening this week. Looks like we didn't even get... thanks for Eric Boyd for calling, by the way. Campaign for Liberty. Great, great guest. We didn't get to two things. Chris Christie will never be president, and is it possible to regulate abortion out of existence? I guess we'll get to that next week. All right. Good deal, folks. Thank you very much again, and spread the word about Things Not Seen in all our programs, and we'll see you next week, okay? And do not forget, you have a choice every day about who you will serve. Is it the Lord? Is it yourself? Is it Satan? You and your family, you and your house, what are you going to do? Fight the good fight. I'll be here with you. See you next week. Now,